We're continuing the series, We Are the Church. As you recall from last week, I had a hard time preaching on this topic because I knew that the announcement was coming and I felt like I would be less than authentic to preach on this topic without sharing with you what I share with you today. Now, Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the church. You know, there's so many metaphors in the Bible regarding metaphors for the church in the New Testament. Pastor James preached an inspiring sermon a couple of weeks ago from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 22, which said, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises." The church is God's household. You are members of his household. Church is a family. It's God's family. We are siblings in the family of God. Church is God's people, it says. Church is God's building, God's temple. Church is God's nations. We're citizens of this nation. In 1 Peter, the church is referred to as God's flock. In 1 Corinthians, the church is referred to as God's field. In Revelation and Hebrews, the church is referred to as God's city. In Hebrews, it says heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation, it says new Jerusalem, new city. That's where we got our name, new city. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 to 23 says this, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." The church is his body, the body of Christ. And he is the head of that body. And my favorite metaphor for the church in the Bible comes from Revelation 21, verse 2 and verse 9. "I saw the holy city," the new Jerusalem, here's the new city, "coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Then in verse 9 it says, "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plague came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.'" The church is the bride of Christ. I added a slide. Take a look at these metaphors for church in the New Testament. What strikes you? Let's take a moment to just kind of mull on what you heard, looking at the metaphors. What strikes you? What resonates with you? Do you see how important the church is to God? To Christ? Do you see how much he loves the church? I mean, church is described as his nation, his people, his temple, his flock. And then there's some more metaphors that are more and more intimate, his household, his family. And it gets even more intimate, his body, his wife, his bride. Can you get any more intimate than that? Can you get any more intimate than describing it as his body, and his bride. Do you see how important the church is to Christ? Do you see how much he loves the church? Do you see how much he loves New City? He loves the church more than any of us love the church, more than I love the church. He loves the church as his body and his bride. I know some of us had some difficult time in the church. Some of us have experienced exclusion. And some of us have felt that the church has abandoned the heart of our faith. Some of us have felt that church has engaged in political things and become nationalistic and kind of married to a power agenda. And so many of us have been disappointed with church. Nonetheless, Jesus loves the church. It doesn't mean that the church is all good and we deserve to be loved, and because we're his bride, we're just beautiful. It means that the church, even when it's broken, he loves the church. Even when we're messed up, he loves the church. His love is unconditional. Jesus loves his wife, the church. Jesus loves his body, the church. And that love is unconditional. It's unconditional. I want to ask the question, so what does this mean for us? So Jesus loves the church. What does this mean for us? We are called to love the church as well. We're not just called to love Jesus. We're called to love the church, his body, his bride. I mean, can we really love Christ without loving his wife? Can we love Christ without loving his body? I mean, can you love me without loving my body? I mean, now, to love my body doesn't mean you think I have a great body, even though I do. No. It means my body is me. It is how I physically manifest myself in a world. His body is how Jesus manifests himself to the world. Do you see that? It's me. The church is the body of Christ, and we can't love Christ unless we also love his body. And to love means to commit. I want to ask you to commit to the church. I want to ask you to put down deep roots and take ownership of the fact that you are a member, a body part of the body of Christ. It means that you're not a consumer of the church. You're not even a fan of the church. You are the church. It's not about whether the church works for you. It's about how you can participate in the church to build up one another and engage in God's mission together. You know, for pastors, the Spirit of Christ calls us to come and go. As I shared earlier, the Apostle Paul, when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. The Apostle Paul planted the church in Corinth, but God called him to go, to leave. And Apollos came and watered, but it is God who gave it the growth. For pastors, God calls us to plant, and sometimes God calls us to empower the next Apollos. But for members of the church, you are called to commit to the body and do life together, grow together, and love one another. I believe this means that you should deepen your roots here and take ownership of the fact that you are the church. You are the body of Christ. Church is not an option in Christian life. Our faith is deeply communal and participatory. We were never meant to be a Lone Ranger follower of Jesus Christ. And even Lone Ranger had Tonto. And I know this is an old reference, but I know some of you old folks get it. Okay, you don't like to be called old folks. Okay. I think to love the church also means to prioritize. I know many of us live very busy lives. Our participation in a church can take a back seat. I want us to ask the question, if the church is so important for Jesus, if the church is his bride, his body, what does our life priority say about how important church is to us? Now, I'm not saying that you should serve without, you know, self-care and burnout. No. Need boundaries. You need discernment. Sometimes you need a season of rest and healing. But whatever you do, stay connected to the heart of God and prioritize church and a life of the community in your life. To love the church means to also engage in a life of the community. Get involved, get to know one another deeply. It's about relationship with one another. It's not about just, you know, learning from the teachings, although that's important. It's about learning from one another, learning to love and to be loved. It's about mourning together. It's about rejoicing together. It's about helping one another. It's about being there for one another. It's about having each other's back. It's about knowing what's going on in your life and you knowing what's going on in somebody else's life to be there in times of trouble, times of joy. That's what being in community is all about. Do you know how many times the Bible commands, well, just the New Testament, I want to say, New Testament commands us to something one another. One another. The word one another in Greek is this word, elelon. It's actually one word. Last year's retreat was, the theme of it was elelon, one another. There are 100 one another's in 94 verses in the New Testament. Love one another, serve one another, be devoted to one another, forgive one another, seek good for one another, accept one another, wait for one another, goes on and on and on. I'm not going to go over 100 of them. Can you do any of these one another commands if you don't engage in a life of the community? If you just come and consume, can you obey and be faithful to the one another commands of the Bible? Church is a community, and a community is the assumed context of our faith. Community is the assumed context of Christianity. Now, what does it mean for us in the context of the transition process? Number one, pay attention to the process. If you're asked to be on the pastor nominating committee, please pray seriously about it. I know the elders and the pastor nominating team are going through are going to have a series of listening sessions. Share your thoughts, share your opinions, and at the end of the process, the elder board will ask for your approval. The new lead pastor has to be elected by the church, so pay attention to the process. Also, stay committed, as I said. Don't waver in your commitment to the church. Double down, step up, stay involved. This is an opportunity to take ownership of the church. Pray for the church. This is so important. This sometimes is a little gap that the devil sometimes takes advantage of. So pray, pray. Prayer is spiritual warfare. Pray for the church. Pray for yourself. Pray for one another. Pray for the next lead pastor. Pray for the pastor nominating committee. Pray for the elder board. Pray for me and Grace as well. And lastly, don't worry. Don't be anxious about the transition. I know many of you are here because of our unique vision to be an inclusive gospel-centered community. The vision is not going to change. The elders are committed to the vision of full inclusivity, egalitarian leadership, justice, all centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not going to change. We've had discussions about it. In addition, as I said, the elders are ready to lead the process and they will guide you through the process. But most importantly, I believe that God's got this. Amen. God's got this. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It is his bride. It is his body. He's got this. We don't need to worry. You know, at the beginning of the church plant, I worried about so many different things. You know, would this multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic model of church work? I mean, would people from Skid Row and the Lofts and other places, various different, not only racial background, but socioeconomic background, can we actually do community together? And I was thinking, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I kept on having so many doubts about this, whether this vision is realistic. But you know, there's a longer version of this story, but to cut it short, God called us to change how we approach this whole question. God came to tell us that success of the church is my issue. It's the issue of Jesus Christ. It's my body and it's my bride. You, Kevin Ha, are called to be faithful to my calling. Your responsibility is to be obedient and faithful. Your responsibility is not to take on my burden of the success of the church. Because I got the church. That's not your responsibility. And I admit, I took that burden on so many times. But the Holy Spirit kept on saying, "What did I tell you? That's not your burden, that's mine. And I'll take care of it because I got this. Your burden is to be faithful to my calling." And that's the message to you. Don't worry. Do not fear. Do not be anxious. God's got this. Our call is to be committed and be faithful to God's call in our life and in this church. You know, when I think about the beginning, only Janet and David from the first team remains. It's been an amazing journey, hasn't it? God has been good. But you know, I look to the future. This is an opportunity for even something greater. Because God is faithful to his church. And I'm listening to God. And it's time for me to go. But God's got something here, and I cannot even imagine that which God has planned for all of you, for this church. Because this church is God's bride. It's his body. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. I wanna just ask you to kind of put out your hand in front of you, if you don't mind. Just, you know, kind of not like this, but just face up like this, you know. And then as a sign of your commitment to the church, just hold the fist and says, "I am committed to the church." Hold the fist. "I am committed to the church. I am committed to Jesus and the church that he loves so much. I am committed." And then open up your hand and say, "I surrender everything to you. I will let go of my worries and anxiety. I will surrender everything to you. I will commit and I will surrender. Lord, Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit will be upon us. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and reign in this congregation. You have called us together in ways that this world has not seen. Lord, we have seen the beauty of the kingdom of God, that which is to come. And you have amazing plans, and you got this, oh Lord. So Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to commit to you. Help us to love the church and be faithful to your calling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.